With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MACK25.
Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
My next guest is actress and singer Linda Pearl, and I found one of her songs to play, and I thought it's appropriate for this time of year. Tis autumn.
Old Father Time tracked so there'd be no doubt. Called on the north wind to come on out. Then cupped his hands so proudly to shout. La-di-da-di-da-di-da, 'tis autumn. The trees say they borne too much fruit. Charmed on the wayside, there's no dispute. Now shedding leaves, they don't give a hoot. La-di-da-di-da-di-da, 'tis autumn. Then the birds got together to chirp about the weather. After making their decision in birdie-like precision, turned about and made a beeline to the south. My holding you close really is no crime. Ask the birds, the trees, and old Father Time. It's just to help the mercury climb. La-di-da-di-da-di-da, fabulous. Linda Pearl and Tis Autumn. Joining us on the line now is actress and singer Linda Pearl, known to millions around the world as Fonzie's fiance on Happy Days, Matlock's daughter Charlene on Matlock, Steve Carell's girlfriend in The Office, and Elizabeth Gaines in Homeland, and so much more. She's also released 5 albums, most recently This Could Be the Start, and travels around the world performing her cabaret show. Welcome to the show, Linda.
Thank you for having me on.
Oh, it's lovely to have you with us. And may I say, what a beautiful voice you have.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, you just sort of keep going at it. You do your scales. And I'm very, very lucky to work with incredible musicians. And that's, very inspiring. And you want to try to bring your A game to the extent that you can.
Yeah, lovely. So what came first for you? Was it singing and music or acting and drama?
It was acting, although music was a part of it from the beginning. I started at a young age doing musicals, but acting was the thing. And it continues because the songs that we choose to do are really all Great American Songbook, which those songs are like one act plays. There's stories, there's their narratives, their journeys behind it. So it doesn't feel separate. You know, the singing doesn't feel separate from the acting. It feels of a piece.
Yeah. And a lot of your music has a real jazz feel about it, which is lovely.
I worked with a wonderful music director for, a long time. And he got me started in cabaret, Ron Abel, just superb. And he works with a lot of people. And by his own admission, his taste was more show tune, a Broadway sound. And I always leaned towards jazz. And at some point, about 16 years ago, I was in New York and someone had offered me to come do a concert. But they said, you're going to have to use our music director. And I was greedy for the job, so I took it, but I was very disappointed I wasn't going to be able to use my music director, Ron Abel. But I went in to work, and here's this young boy behind the keys, and he's monosyllabic, very shy, and I just knew it was not going to go well. But hey, it was a gig, and I was grateful to be there. And then this man put his hands on the piano, and my life changed. So that's Ted Firth. We've been together ever since. Ron Abel very kindly said, go. He's jazz. Have a wonderful time. And so that was it. And Ted he's remarkable. He works with so many people. I'm very lucky to be on his roster. And he's brilliantly talented. He's a hard worker, but he's smart. And he plays smart. And for me, his noodling and his improv plays the subtext of the lyric. It's not without meaning. Every note has an emotional intent behind it. And now with 16 years and however many albums we've done behind us, we have a patina between us, a kind of understanding. I asked him at some point, how do you decide what to do, when to play, when not to play? And he said, well, it's all about the breath. You know, on stage, he's seated just behind me and off to my right, stage right. So somehow in his periphery, while he's reading the music and playing the shit out of the piano, he managed to sort of feel, you know, the singer's breath. And in that breath, ergo, you cannot be singing. He has the choice to make, to play, to not play, to echo the sentiment that's just been voiced, or to presage where the song is about to go. And sometimes he does all three in those, or he'll do all three of those in the solo. But It's profoundly integrated to the lyric. And so, you know, you work with someone with that sensibility and it spoils you for life. There are a couple of other piano players I do get to work with when Ted is busy, but Ted is my guy and all of my charts are Ted's, all of them right now.
Amazing. So can you tell us a little bit about your latest album release? This could be the start.
We started working on it on a new album. I forget what the theme was going to be, but before the pandemic. And then we tried to limp along for the next 2.5 years when we couldn't be together. We'd try to do some things over Zoom, but it's not the same. You have to be in the room together.
Yeah.
And in the room are three of us. It's Ted, myself, and this wonderful, brilliant woman, Deborah Grace Weiner, who holds, like Ted does, the Great American Songbook Encyclopedia in her brain. So she has a catalog of songs, but she's one of those rare beings who knows, well, that's right. The second verse of that song was written at 2 a.m. when someone had a fight with their boyfriend, et cetera. So I will come into the room when we start an album with a theme and then with a roster of songs and with a roster of feels that I would like to put into the album somewhere. And Ted comes in with some song ideas, as does Deborah Grace Weiner. And then we just start whittling away. Well, with the interruption, the long interruption of COVID, we kept moving forward, but only in fits and starts. And by the time we could finally get back together again, we basically threw out anything we had started with. And it, this could be the start, felt appropriate because we were coming out. We were all emerging gently from COVID, trying to reintegrate ourselves into our lives, into our friends' lives, into the rhythm of work, all of that. So it took another year, I would say, to usually takes a year to really pick out the songs. And the idea was, well, you can initiate something, as we all do serially in life. And sometimes those things go well. And sometimes they, you know, you fall flat on your face. But the important thing is to try.
Yeah.
So that was really the guiding light. So, yeah, the Let Me Down Easy was, that's obviously when something totally falls apart. But one of the things that had happened over COVID was, well, before COVID, I had bumped into a long-term acquaintance. So we were back in touch vaguely, you know, happy Christmas kind of thing. And then the pandemic started. So we would text or say, how are you doing? Are you washing your vegetables? I extricated myself from New York and went to my home in Colorado. And this long-term acquaintance, Patrick Duffy, repaired to his ranch in Ohio. So there we are, both sitting on mountaintops, twiddling our thumbs. And we just started to Zoom. And before long, we were Zooming every night for 2 to 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And after about 3 months of this, it was, well, somewhere in the middle of that, it turned a corner. It wasn't just an acquaintance. It was, you know, a friend. So after 3 months, he jumped in his car and he heroically drove from Oregon to Colorado. And we haven't been apart since. Aww. So obviously we had to kind of fold that into some of the songs on the album.
Yeah, lovely.
Love, Let's Get Lost. All those things are kind of and, about that.
I saw a video online or an interview, I think it was, about your bread business, Duffy's Dough. Is that still going? That sounded like an amazing story that's been in his family for generations.
Yes, it is and it isn't. It's sort of on pause, but right now, and we have an announcement coming later in this year, but we're not at liberty to talk about it just yet. But okay. Again, with time on our hands during COVID, we started this company. And yes, it's a sourdough starter. It had been in Patrick's family for over 70 years. And some business friends helped us, taught us what to do. We didn't know anything. And it was an all-in-one kit. We sold it online. The website is still up, but we're not selling right now. But we will be rebooted, as I say, later in the year, sort of early summer kind of thing. And all of our proceeds go to food scarcity programs. We completely copied Newman's Own, Paul Newman's company. I mean, listen, we should be so lucky as to have a tiny fraction of their success. But that's our intention. I have Patrick and I have both share a friend, wonderful actor who's about our vintage. And he and I were about to launch into a reality series about selling high-end real estate. And they were going to hire us and they were going to fly us around the world to these Ponzi villas, probably one in Marbella too. I don't know. And
probably.
And then we would just pretend, well, darling, if we lived here, imagine this is who would bring us our fresh squeezed orange juice. And ooh, there would be our yacht down below. And we just thought this would be great. We were about to sign the contracts and my friend Gregory Harrison called and he said, I can't do it. And I thought, you son of a bitch, you probably got some other news scene you're going to go off. And he said, no, he said, I'm at the legacy stage of my life and everything I do has to align with my core values. So I can't do something that says to people, you cannot be happy without a, you know, 20,000 square foot house, yeah, without a helicopter and a yacht in your backyard. So he said, I'm out. And I mean, as actors, you know that you know, everyone is replaceable. But I thought, so I could, Gregory, they could have replaced Gregory with somebody, with Patrick, for instance. But I thought, well, now that he put it that way, I'll feel like such a fool if I, you know, go ahead with it. But that was, you know, if you're lucky to have treasured friends for your adult life, and Gregory is certainly one of them, you get those life lessons from them.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, that has to be a kind of true north for me. So when Patrick and I were talking through setting up this company, it had to be about something and for something. And especially in this highly charged political moment that most countries are living in, and America's no exception, we thought we should stay away for now from anything political and just go to the heart of very basic need and, dare I say, human right for people to get some food in their belly on a daily basis. So to the extent that we can, we hope to make a difference there.
Yeah.
So that, you know, kept us up over the last couple of years as we were, because we did everything in our house. I mean, the dehydrated starter, we had to dehydrate in a professional kitchen with all the licenses and all that stuff. But once that was done, everything came back to the house. My house in Colorado for the better part of 2 years was a factory. It was just the assembly line. And if we'd sell out of kits, we'd call some friends over and crank up the rock and roll and pack another couple hundred boxes and ship them out. It was fun. And it was, it's a learning curve.
Yeah, fun and crazy at the same time.
It was.
And we're so sadly running out of time, and I feel that there's so much I want to ask you. Just want to talk about your acting career, all the things I mentioned at the beginning. I mean, what kind of highlights stand out for you, do you think?
Well, there was one that comes to mind, probably because you have a gorgeous British accent, but there's a play, a one-woman play by Joan Didion called The Year of Magical Thinking, and it is the piece in which she metabolizes the sudden death of her husband and then her daughter. And in it, she gives you a map of what it will be like to descend into the hell of grief and how to move up forward out of that. And it's a smart play. It's an unsentimental play. It's a truth telling. It's a campfire tale. It's a download from our elders of how to survive life's most difficult moments. So I've had a chance to do that on and off for the past 13 years. And the late, great Bill Kenwright very kindly brought me to one of his theaters in the West End. And I got to do that play in London. And having done it in many different cities, I have to say the London audience is so wonderful. They're smart. It's a literary culture, so they know how to listen. Anyway, that was a real highlight for me. But honestly, it's like having to choose between children. Working on The Office was so much fun. It was a great company, just very much a family feel, quite akin to the feel of this set of Happy Days for all those years. In fact, now I'm about to go into rehearsals with Anson Williams of Happy Days. He's going to direct another one-woman play that his wife wrote. Her mother had a psychotic break when Sharon was just a little girl. And so this is an adult's view back at quite a painful, challenging childhood. Anyway, so that, but those long threads that weave through your life, like Anson, who's been a friend for 50 years, and here we are working together again. So.
And do you enjoy, because the two highlights that you mentioned were sound like really, serious plays or serious material with quite hard-hitting subjects. Do you think you enjoy that style of acting more than lighthearted comedy?
Again, it's like having to choose between children. I mean, if it's good, it's good. And that's the thing. When the writing is good, it's such a pleasure because you learn so much about language and the power of words. Patrick and I are due to do a new play called Love Quest. Or this year, we're in 2025. Yeah, this year. So that'll be fun to work together.
Yeah.
Well, another highlight that we had in England was a couple of years back, we got to do a tour of the UK with Catch Me If You Can. And oh my goodness, we were out in the hinterlands for about 7 months, crisscrossing the country several times. And one theater was more beautiful than the next. I mean, we'd stand in these hallowed halls, most of them 19th century jewel boxes. And you know, it was just, honestly, it was the privilege of a lifetime to do that, to do it together. We were with a wonderful company of English actors. So it was a big, fat life bonbon for us.
Yeah, how lovely. Well, it's been a real pleasure to have you with us on Talk Radio Europe. Linda Pearl, thank you so much for joining us. So we'll look out for you and Patrick and your next project. And obviously, if listeners want to get your latest album, it's called This Could Be the Start, and it's available from all the usual platforms. Linda, thank you for being with us today.
Thanks for having me on. Enjoy your day.
You too.